Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep those bananas
we need
rolling.
To snap. Hello.
Okay.
On the count of 3, 2, 1.
All right.
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the NaNoWriMo. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the everyday novelist NaNoWriMo. Fuck.
Welcome to NaNo. Damn it. I can't do it either.
Welcome to the...
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to day 19 of the Everyday Novelist NaNoWriMo Ride Along, or as Kitty likes to call it...
The Nano Gangbang?
Yep, that's the one. And today we all got plowed by a train something fierce. We have almost everybody here today. Tori is here.
Woo! Hi, I just took a sip, sorry.
Ben is here.
Hello.
And Kitty is here.
Hello.
And we have all had spectacular adventures today, which kept us away from the keyboard. In my case, I had a 6-hour drive. And when I got home, I couldn't actually type properly. I wrote 100 words and they all had spaces in the wrong place, so I gave up for the day. I'm going to have to hit it hard tomorrow morning. Tori, how are things with you?
Well, fairly similar without the driving. Well, I just had a lot of other work today to get finished, and I had a spark of sort of, my brain is shutting down as well. I like looking at all of us just like rubbing our heads in desperation.
We just look like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to start this podcast 8 times before I could actually speak the opening coherently. Ben, how about you?
I got 0 words. I did get some client work.
That's good. Oh, Kitty, how about you?
Oh, me, yeah. I was doing a lot of other business things and also fighting a fever. So when I wasn't doing business things, I was kind of staring off into space at white walls.
Oh, fun, fun, fun. So because we are all completely thrashed today and totally screwing up the whole spirit of writing every day, instead, we're going to give you a conversation from the other night. And
hopefully a funny one.
It'll be a good one. Yeah, well, we've got 2 still on dock, so I'll...
It'll be filled with either humor or existential angst or both.
Likely both.
Exactly.
So stay tuned after the fancy musical interlude.
Barrier, which I want to be on the other side of, I'll just smash through it. And either I'll smash myself and I'll smash the barrier and I don't care because I want to get past it. And so I had the same thing with the critical voice. It's like, fuck it, I'll just... And it didn't work. Like, it's one of those things where if you fight it, for me, it gets stronger. It's true for most people. So what I discovered is I finally had to listen to it. And I had to be like, all right, I'm seeing beforehand what's not going to work about this. So rather than doing it anyway and then writing myself into a corner where that critical voice is like, you know, shoves me off the cliff, I listen and I'm like, all right, well, I guess I won't do that. I'll try this. Because it is really smart. Like, you really do learn to see things that aren't going to work. And you learn to throw out ideas early and do this filtering process. But I discovered that once I let myself listen to it, it kind of relaxed. And suddenly it becomes sort of a helper rather than this gatekeeper to doing anything interesting and creative. So that ended up being my way for working with it, and still is.
Well, in case it helps, I had to get around it another way. Because that way wouldn't work for me.
Oh, yeah, do tell.
So mine kicked in by once I got over the does this sentence sound right part, which was really hard to get over that. So once I got to the point where I could let the sentences go and promise myself I could fix them later if they still sucked. With the story, the real hard part for me was I have read a lot. A lot. And so I can see every plot twist, or at least before I got together with Kitty, I thought I could see every plot twist coming. She actually can see every plot twist coming. It's really annoying to watch movies with her. But I can see most plot twists coming, and so I would be, my critical voice would start engaging by getting me bored the moment I got on an established plot line. Once I had some momentum going, I would suddenly get bored and have trouble continuing writing because I knew where it was going, and I knew how it would turn out, and it would be really boring, and why the f*** am I doing this anyway, and that kind of thing. So I adopted Chandler's rule, an extreme form of Chandler's rule. Raymond Chandler said when he used to get writer's block, he'd have big guys with guns come through the door, and by the time he figured out why they were there, the plot was going again. And so my version of it was any time I got bored, I would have the point of view character do the most unexpected to me thing they could possibly do, but still have it be in character. And then they would start running off in a sideways direction, and I'd have to figure out what was going on in their head that would make them do that f***ed up thing. And that kept me entertained, chasing my characters around. And it gave me, I don't know if you've read any of my books, I know you have, I have this amazingly Byzantine plotting sense. And it's because I learned to plot by making my characters dance for me, because I was bored and I needed to get through the story, so I'm like, dance, monkey, dance. And that constructs these really crazy plots that I don't know where the fuck they're going, but somehow they eventually wind up coming together in the end. But it depends on how your, like, angst engages. Mine engaged because I was afraid of being boring. So that was how I had to get past it. Yours engaged because you're afraid of being imperfect.
Yeah.
Different rationales will give you different things, but there's no one right way to deal with it. Just, you know, whatever works.
I read the craziest piece of advice on Tumblr, I think it was. Someone said that you can write your manuscripts in a font like Comic Sans, and suddenly it unlocks your brain. I don't know if it's the ugliness of the font, or a font you can't take seriously, or a font that you know isn't the final version because, you know, it's not in your lovely sans serif typeface that you're going to eventually publish your book in. It's in this thing that looks kind of like bad handwriting. And somehow that unlocks the
Well, you tried it today.
I was going to say, well, did you do it? Effect?
Well, I don't have Comic Sans installed on my...
So good for you.
Because...
She knows better.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, because I'm a designer. She knows about
design, yeah.
Exactly. Iris.
I love that you don't have it, though. That's great. No. Did you seek it out and delete it?
No, I have other comic fonts. So I went with a different comic hand-lettered look font.
Uh-huh.
And it actually kind of helped a little bit. What helped more for me was figuring out that I wasn't writing an angsty drama and letting myself be funny instead of trying to take...
Did the goofy font help with that?
It might have.
That's something, like, when I was teaching, I would tell them to just pick the most ludicrous font and write in that, or make everything white so that you can't see what you're typing on.
Nice.
Or voice memos, anything that's outside of the ordinary.
Yes,
because of,
I love voice memos.
Yeah, those, I live so by voice good. Memos. That makes sense to me, to do something so silly like that. I'll have to try that. I never practice what I preach. I really need to do that.
Yeah. It's amazing what happens.
You know what I've discovered about voice memos? Because I was talking to you about them, geeking out about you about them before, and I discovered it gives me a chance to run all the way around an idea or what I'm writing before I write it. And then when I run all the way around it, I'm totally confident in writing it. But if I write something for the first time that I'm just developing, which is almost always the case, I write something and I'm like, oh, I had to see it outside of my head, and now I really do genuinely want to change it, not just because I'm critical, but it's because I just wanted to develop it. When I talk, I can just do it quickly, you know, iteratively, and it's not on the page. Like, something about the words on the page are, like, set in stone, and once I write them, I can't delete them, and So if I can see them from all sides beforehand, it's safe to write them and have them stay.
I just had this terrible thought where you're doing, I'm trying to imagine myself as the first caveman novelist having to chisel every letter into the
exactly,
rock.
Exactly, that's what it feels like.
Make typo, line one.
Months of work wasted.
That's a fun thing. Nerd glasses on. Like, you can actually see certain mistakes. And
really?
Really?
Murals. Like, so I know in my area, they have, like, basically what we think probably, at least one I know of, a learning wall where you find different resurfacings, essentially, of, like, numbers. So people were either learning or doing actual math or something.
Oh, wow. Like that. That's so cool.
Interesting. That's cool.
The first blackboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Something I'm loving about the story he's working on right now is it's set, like, almost 1,000 years into our future, and the kids are in school using chalkboards and paper and pencil because it's on Venus, and there's so much acid in the environment that electronics don't survive. So I guess they're keeping the electronics in clean rooms for grown-ups that have to do real actual work, and everybody else uses paper and pencils and chalkboard and slate desks, and it's like, wow, it feels like Tom Sawyer's classroom, except it's...
Well, I figure it's Venus. It's not like they have vegetation, right? Everything has to be made of the rocks, so...
That's the beauty of being a sci-fi writer. You can do cool stuff like that.
Well, the constraints are fun.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Figure out what your constraints are. It gives you ideas that you wouldn't have normally.
Yep.
And that'll wrap it all up for us here. We'll see you tomorrow, and I at least should have a terrifyingly large word count because I have a whole 3 chapters already in my head ready to come out on the page. So, Ed, even though you are now ahead of me, as I saw on Twitter today, damn you, that won't be for long.
Dun, dun, dun.
See ya. The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.